time now for the 1215 News. Brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. Today's WFIW WOKZ local area weather forecast shows a 20% chance of showers with thunderstorms possible after noon. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 95. I'm Jeremy Smith reporting the news. From his jail cell at the Menard Correctional Center in Chester, Ray E. Tate has filed a motion asking to withdraw his guilty plea to the murder of Wayne County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Riley. Riley was gunned down by Tate in the early morning hours of December 29th on Interstate 64. In his handwritten motion filed pro se, or without the help of an attorney, Tate makes three arguments for the withdrawal of his guilty plea. First, he alleges that the plea was the result of coercion. He says that he was not allowed phone, mail, or visits, and threatened that unless he took a plea, he would not be allowed these rights. Second, Tate alleges that he had inadequate representation with attorney regarding plea. In that, he wasn't allowed to call, write, or visit adequately with his attorney. And third, he was not mentally competent to enter the plea. He says he saw and heard things in factual basis that made him question his mental competency and was never given a mental evaluation. In the handwritten jailhouse motion, Tate asked to withdraw his guilty plea and vacate his life sentence without the possibility of parole. Court records show Tate changed his plea to guilty to a single count of first-degree murder on March 17th. He was sentenced before the Wayne County Circuit Judge Michael Molt on April 22nd. Tate was represented by court-appointed attorney Heidi Hoffey of Fairfield, and during the entire sentencing hearing on April 22nd, Tate repeatedly acknowledged the guilty plea he entered as knowing and voluntary. Tate will have a status hearing via Zoom with the Wayne County Courthouse held on Tuesday, June the 28th. A hearing on his jailhouse motion will be set for a later date. Tate has previously attempted to escape from the Jefferson County Jail in Mount Vernon while being held in pretrial custody. More news right after this break.
Don't let concerns about current events derail your long-term financial strategy. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Abby Mawson, and I'm here to help. We can work together to understand today's financial landscape and make sure you achieve your goals. While you can't control market volatility, you can control your financial future. Let's connect. Start by giving me a call at 618-842-4696. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
And now the rest of the news. On June 19th at 5:08 a.m., Fairfield Fire Department firefighters were alerted to a structure fire at 407 Northwest 5th Street in Fairfield. The first arriving unit arrived 3 minutes after dispatch, observing fire coming from a bedroom on the northeast corner of the residence. The fire was quickly knocked down and overhaul was performed. The residence did not have utilities hooked up at the time of the fire, with the structure sustaining fire, heat, and smoke damage. The fire is under investigation by the Illinois State Fire Marshal's Office. Firefighters cleared the scene at 7:42 a.m. FFD was assisted by Fairfield Rural with Automatic Aid, Wayne County EMS, Wayne White Electric, Fairfield PD, and Wayne County 911. There were no injuries reported at the scene. On June 20th at 1:39 a.m., Fairfield Fire Department firefighters responded to a reported structure fire behind Rent 1. Upon arrival 3 minutes later, a structure located along the alley was fully engulfed. Multiple hand lines were utilized to bring the fire under control at 1:57 a.m. The structure did not have any utilities hooked up at the time of the fire, and the structure is a total loss. The fire is under investigation by the Illinois State Fire Marshal's Office. Firefighters cleared the scene at around 5 a.m. The FFD was assisted by Fairfield Rural with Automatic Aid, Wayne County EMS, Wayne White Electric, Fairfield PD, the Wayne County Sheriff's Office, and Wayne County 911. There were no injuries reported at the scene. 23-year-old Jesse Lilly of Salem was arrested on Sunday by Salem police after he was allegedly caught trying to break into a home on Almond Street. According to police, At around 8:11 p.m. Sunday, a woman called to report someone was in her backyard and trying to break into her home. Officers arrived and took Jesse Lilly into custody. He was charged with attempted residential burglary and criminal damage to property. A bona fide doubt has been found in Jefferson County Court as to the mental fitness of a 67-year-old Mount Vernon man to stand trial on multiple counts of possessing child pornography. A fitness evaluation was ordered to be performed earlier this month on Roy Staley, and the status of the evaluation is expected Tuesday in court. Staley was arrested in April on 7 felony child pornography offenses. According to Deputy Detective Bobby Wallace, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office received a tip through its mobile app claiming Staley had child pornography on multiple devices. An investigation was launched, and a warrant was issued to search Staley's apartment. Wallace says several files were subsequently located on at least one of Staley's electronic devices, and he was taken into custody. He now faces two Class X felony charges of child pornography of a victim under the age of 13, four Class 2 felony counts of possessing child pornography of a victim under the age of 13, and one Class 2 felony charge of possessing a child pornography movie or video. The Wayne County Saddle Club will be hosting a youth horse show as part of its youth series this Saturday, June 25th. You must be a member to ride, but can purchase a membership on the day of the show. Local riders will compete in both performance and speed classes. The show starts at 10 a.m., and the Cook Shack will have concessions available. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported 3,722 new confirmed and probable cases of coronavirus disease in Illinois on Monday, including 10,179 cases since Friday. Currently, the IDPH is reporting a total of 3,393,519 cases, including 34,005 deaths in the state. As of Monday night, 1,137 individuals were reported to be in the hospital with COVID, 137 were in the ICU, and 45 were on ventilators. A total of 22,571,341 vaccines have been administered in Illinois as of Monday night. 4,585,490 of those were booster doses. The 7-day rolling average of vaccines administered daily is 8,779, and since Friday, 27,626 doses have been reportedly administered in the state. The weekly crop report tells us that farmers are just about finished with soybean planting and wheat harvest is underway. There were 5.9 days suitable for field work during the week ending on June 19th. Statewide, the average temperature was 78.8 degrees, 5.9 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged a half inch, 0.51 inches below normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 2% very short, 29% short, 68% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 2% very short, 19% short, 78% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn condition was rated at 1% very poor, 3% poor, 25% fair, 57% good, and 14% excellent, and soybeans planted reached 98% compared to the 5-year average of 93%, while soybeans emerged reached 93% compared to the 5-year average of 85%. Soybean condition was rated 1% very poor, 5% poor, 28% fair, 57% good, and 9% excellent. Winter wheat condition was rated at 3% very poor, 5% poor, 20% fair, 54% good, and 15% excellent. There will be no live poultry shows at the Illinois State Fair this year. Kim Howard has more.
The move is due to continued concerns about the highly contagious avian influenza, says the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Dr. Stacy Slager.
They are going to go ahead and do a virtual poster competition for the state for junior poultry exhibitors. We're still seeing detections in both wild birds and domestic poultry. So to protect the entire population of poultry throughout the state of Illinois, we will be doing that again.
Junior poultry exhibitors have until July 15th to enter the poster contest. More details will be available online at illinoisstatefair.info. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
A former Illinois state senator has been sentenced to 1 year and 1 day in prison for taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Teamsters Union for a no-show job. Thomas Cullerton, a Democrat from Chicago's suburb of Villa Park, was sentenced Tuesday on a federal embezzlement charge for fraudulently receiving salary and benefits from the union, according to the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois. The 52-year-old Cullerton pleaded guilty in March, 2 weeks after he abruptly resigned from the legislature. He admitted that he improperly took more than $240,000 from the Teamsters and has agreed to pay $248,828 in restitution. The river stages as of this morning. The Little Wabash east of Fairfield stands at 17.13 feet above the 17-foot flood stage. Meanwhile, the Skillet Fork at Wayne City has a reading of 5.03 feet with a flood stage of 15 foot. The Little Wabash below Clay City is at 16.21 feet below its 18-foot flood stage. And elsewhere in the region, Bonpaw Creek at Browns reads 1.35 feet, the Little Wabash at Main Street in Carmi reads 9.49 feet, and the Wabash River at Mount Carmel currently sits at 6.77 feet. Today's crude oil price is $103.65, up $1.09 from yesterday. The July crude oil price is $110.58, down $1.33 from yesterday morning. That's a look at news. Area deaths are next.
Finding the right specialist for your orthopedic needs just got easier. Wabash General Hospital offers non-surgical and conservative treatments, including physical therapy, as well as minimally invasive surgeries, like total joint replacement or tendon repair. Also spinal conditions, herniated discs, and scoliosis. Wabash General Hospital is committed to combining passion and knowledge to heal. Call today, 618-263-6400. That's 618-263-6400.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 84 degrees. It's time now for the Stock Market Report, brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones representative, located at 101 East Delaware Street in Fairfield. The Dow is at 30,476 points, down 55 points. The NASDAQ is at 11,056, down 11 points. The current price of crude oil is $103.65 per barrel, unchanged from this morning. Reporting for WFIW News, I'm Eli Grimes.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nell's Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nell's Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 78-year-old Jeff resident Clyde C. Liston died on Tuesday, June 14th. A memorial service for Clyde will be held at 1 p.m. today at Nell's Funeral Home in Fairfield. Robert L. Schuster, 91 of Shelbyville, Tennessee, and formerly of McLeansboro, died on Friday, June 17th. Visitation will be held today from 6 to 8, and funeral service is tomorrow at 11 at Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Burial will follow in the IOOF Cemetery in McLeansboro, and military honors will be accorded by the American Legion Post 106 of McLeansboro and the Military Honor Team of Marion, Illinois. Charles Dudley Murphy died on Monday, May 30th. An interment will take place at 11 a.m. tomorrow at Maple Hill Cemetery. Friends are asked to go directly to the cemetery. Lois Jean Phillips, aged 83, died on Sunday, June 19th. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. until noon on Friday, June 24th, followed by the funeral service at noon at Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Burial will follow in the IOOF Veterans Cemetery in McLeansboro. Shirley Ann Hinton, 69, of Equality, died on Saturday, June 18th. Funeral services for Shirley will be held at 1 p.m. on Friday, June 24th, at the Equality United Methodist Church, with burial at Lymington Cemetery in Gallatin County. Family and friends may visit from 11 a.m. until time of the service at the church. 88-year-old Fairfield resident Barbara J. Whedon died on Wednesday, June 15th. Funeral services for Barbara will be at noon on Saturday, June 25th, at the Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield. Burial will follow in Maple Hill Cemetery. Visitation for Barbara will be from 10 a.m. until time of the service at the funeral home. George Thomas Tommy Churchill, 95 of Carmi, died on Sunday, June 19th. Visitation and funeral are Sunday, June 26th, at Cook Funeral Chapel in Carmi. Visitation will be at noon, with the funeral to follow at 2. Burial with military rites will be in the Kirkendall Cemetery near Carmi. Keith Stockey, 82 of Princeton, Indiana, and formerly of Carmi, died on Sunday, June 19th. Funeral services will be held at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, June 26th, at the First Christian Church in Carmi, with burial at Bruce Chapel Cemetery. Family and friends may visit from 12:30 until time of the service at the First Christian Church in Carmi. Alice Mary White Donahue, 86 of Carmi, died Thursday, June 16th. A service celebrating Alice's life will be held at a later date. Stephen Graham Rocky Wood, 62 of Fairfield, died on Wednesday, June 15th. Rocky will be cremated with no formal services held. 91-year-old Fairfield resident Shirley T. Clark died on Friday, June 17th. Per her request, her body has been cremated and a Celebration of Life memorial service will be held at a later date. Judy K. Vest, 74 of Fairfield, died on Sunday, June 19th. A private family service will be held. Mark Vincent Cheney, 65 of Albion, died on Friday, June the 17th. Family may hold a celebration of life at a later date. And as a reminder, we update our obituaries regularly on our website at WFIWradio.com. Again, today's WFIW WOKZ local area weather forecast is calling for a 20% chance of showers with thunderstorms possible after noon, otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 95. I'm Jeremy Smith, reporting the news.
Are you tired of heavy menstrual cycles? There's nothing normal.